Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to Sound Insight. This is Tom Curran and more reflections on the Camino and a new story and a new challenge and an are you kidding me moment that almost made me cry. Like tears of like sadness, like just crying. Like, are you kidding, God? So this is a long journey that I took, and I'm sharing about this day. It was supposed to be one of the high points, but for me, it was one of the most challenging points of the entire Camino on this day 23. And you're going to get to hear about it today in the program, and I hope that you'll find it a blessing.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you and praise you for the way that you meet us in the midst of difficulties, the way you meet us on the way, as the way, even when that way involves trials and pain and suffering. Things that we can't understand, things that don't make sense, things that involve a moving forward that is painful, that the next step is painful, and yet we're called to move forward. Today, Lord, I thank you for those days. I thank you for those times and seasons of our life that we would naturally avoid, we would naturally protect ourselves from, and that we would consider simply a defeat. Thank you, Jesus, that you've shown us by the way that you lived and by the passion that you endured and the way of the cross and the crucifixion that you endured, that you show us the way to the Father. A way that leads through trials and suffering and even death and through death to resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for the mystery of that cross and that path. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That was a pretty intense prayer. Well, when you hear today's reflection on the Camino, you'll understand why.
Hey, welcome to my next reflection on hiking the Camino. I'm now in week 4, day 23. This is my journey from Rabanal del Camino to Ponferrada. It's a longer walk, and it was over 22 miles. And that'll become important in just a few minutes. And a couple of striking things happened. Now, for many folks on the Camino, this would be considered one of the bigger days. Obviously, if the biggest day is the arrival in Santiago, then you have other days kind of coalescing around that. Maybe the day you launch, maybe if you go to Finisterre, if you go all the way out to the ocean. But for people who are walking the Camino in terms of the stages, this moment where you arrive sort of at the top of a mountain where you're going to go to the Cruz de Ferro, this cross of forgiveness, this cross where all of these rocks are piled up, and it's a place where you, so that's going to happen today. I'll talk a little bit more about that and its meaning for me, but it's really, you're climbing the mountain to get to that place, and there a lot of people will have brought rocks or stones from home, or maybe a note or some other symbol that they are going to leave there at the cross. And in some ways, right, it's indicative of the entire idea of the Camino itself. It's a journey, it's a way, and part of what is asked of you, part of what happens to you when you're walking the Camino is you're taking on a lifestyle that's much more stripped down. Just as a very concrete, for instance, I have two shirts. Ta-da. I've got the shirt and then the overshirt that I wear when I walk. And then I have this shirt for when I arrive. And that's it. I've got one pair of shoes. I do have sandals that I barely ever wear. Typically, my feet are still kind of weighing me down a bit, that even when I reach the end of my Camino, I'll end up wearing my shoes again, unless like today they're wet. So I have my sandals on. I've got two pairs of socks. I've got two pairs of, it's like, you get the idea. It's stripped down. Basically the stuff that I can carry in a backpack on my back, or as I've been doing for the last few weeks, well, 14 days we'll say, I've been passing on my backpack and just having a day pack. So it's a stripped down life. And then frankly, it's a stripped down day. It's pretty focused. You get up in the morning, you might have a little bite to eat, have a coffee, and then you're walking anywhere from say, probably a minimum of 4 hours to 8 hours or even longer, depending on the day. You're walking, you're hiking. And so there's a sense of you're on a journey, you're headed somewhere. And, you know, it's not like there are a bunch of tourist stops along the way. No, you're focused. And so the idea is that you're headed towards this goal. You're headed towards this high point where you're leaving your burden there, and then you're walking down from there. So in a certain sense, the Camino heads towards this Cruz de Ferro, and then it moves from the Cruz de Ferro towards the ultimate goal of Santiago. Well, I share that in detail because of how my day started. So first, a couple of very quick things. I was staying in a hostel outside of town, just prior to Ramonal del Camino. And this was a little hostel that it was like an apartment. I had my own like ability to cook food. And I mentioned to you yesterday, look, I'm trying to surrender. I'm committed to not eat like potatoes anymore, or bread. So I just want eggs for breakfast or eggs and bacon. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take advantage of this. I'm going to actually buy some eggs and some bacon, and I'm going to cook it up, and I'll cook my own breakfast. So that'll take care of that. And you know what? Maybe what I'm going to do is actually cook enough eggs and bacon that I'll actually store it in my Gatorade bottle. I'm going to store a backup supply of bacon and eggs in my water container, and I'll have a separate water bottle, like, you know, this one here. I'll have my own liter and a half of water that I'll also have in my day pack. So I'll have food and frankly a breakfast, another breakfast, as well as other food if I need it in the moment, as well as water. So that's what I did. I cooked up some eggs. Cooked up some, well, their version of bacon. It's not what we're accustomed to. And I cooked it up that morning, had some for breakfast, popped the rest into that Gatorade bottle. And I'm going to make a little confession. I was pretty like pumped up and kind of excited about the day I had yesterday talking with Mr. D. You can listen to that reflection. And so when I was buying the food I needed for the journey, I saw a bag of popcorn. And I thought, oh, a bag of popcorn. That, I feel like this is a celebration. I feel like I need to just give myself a little space and celebrate. So got a bag of popcorn, and I got a Lipton iced tea, which again would be a special treat for me because I'm not drinking soft drinks or sugar drinks. I'm just drinking water, sparkling water. The closest thing I'm drinking is tonic water. I've had that a couple of times as well. And coffee, you know, the nectar from from heaven. Oh, and I'd been drinking a ton of orange juice, which I'm kind of rambling on a little bit here, but I'm also surrendering orange juice. It has too much sugar in it. And so I'm actually underway figuring out, you know, what am I going to eat? I'll talk more about that tomorrow. Okay, let's stay focused. So got up. Oh, part of the reason I bring that up is that the Lipton iced tea, I think, had caffeine and sugar in it, and it kept me up. So I had a really hard time sleeping that night, the night that led into this day. And so I ended up getting up early, cooked my breakfast, got myself packed, and was ready for a 23-mile day. And I had read, okay, so, you know, it's quite a climb up, and then you'll get to the Cruz de Ferro. And then afterwards, it's a kind of a flat area. And then there's a downward slope that is steep and difficult. So just be aware of that. What an understatement. Oh my goodness. We'll get to this. So I start my day, 8 a.m. This is great. Let's go. And I figured, okay, I'm going 22 miles. I've gone up and down hills. I'm thinking it'll take me 8 hours. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I can handle that eight hour walk. That this will be fine. I've had two shorter days leading up to this. I'll be fine. And as I'm walking through Rabanal del Camino, I pass by the Benedictine church next to the monastery. And I remembered that they had mass at 9 a.m. Now it's like 8:25 right now, and mass is at 9. And I'm thinking, oh, darn it. If only mass was earlier, then I could go. But I've got a long hike ahead of me. I've got to go. And something inside of me said, go to mass. There was just this prompting of the Holy Spirit, this conviction on the inside that said, go to mass. And I'm like, but Lord, it's in 35 minutes. What am I supposed to do for 35 minutes? And Lord, don't you realize that if I don't start until 9, like, I mean, after mass, I don't know how long this mass is going to be, a half an hour, 45 minutes. What if it's an hour? Lord, are you aware you understand all the implications here? See, I mean, come on, really, this is how I'm talking to God. Lord, are you tracking with me? Do you know how impractical this is? This doesn't make any human sense. And I'm like, you know what? I'm here to serve the Lord. I'm here for him. I speak, Lord, your servant is listening, not arguing, not complaining, not combating, listening. So, okay, I'm going to go pray. So I went and I sat and I prayed for half an hour. And it was a beautiful time of silent prayer before mass. And what dawned on me in that time of prayer was a very profound truth. And the truth is that if this day is about seeking the mountain of the Lord, scaling the mountain of the Lord to get to that top place where you can encounter this cross, the most profound mountain of the Lord event that will happen to me this day is not physically climbing that mountain and getting to that pile of rocks where there's a cross on top that millions of people have walked and gone to over the 1,000 years. No, it's mass. Mass is climbing the mountain of the Lord. Mass is going to a place much higher than the top of a mountain. Mass is a place where we have heaven touch earth. Heaven invades earth, breaks into earth, and earth reaches heaven. Time reaches eternity. Eternity breaks into time at mass. And it also involves, the mass also involves a Camino, a walking, a pilgrim people walking. If you're Catholic and you go to mass, you might think, okay, well, mass starts when the priest says, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we say, amen, the Lord be with you. That is not the beginning of mass. The beginning of the mass liturgically is the procession. The procession, ding, ding, they ring the bell and you stand. And then the priest on a Sunday liturgy, you'll see, walks in from the back of the church, processes in through the assembly, through the people, and then comes to the sanctuary and then goes up into the sanctuary to kiss the altar, and then comes to his presider's chair and begins the speaking portion of the Mass. But the Mass begins with a liturgical action that is called a procession, the processing in. And that's a dimension of a Camino that I think is often lost. The Mass begins with a liturgical action that is called a procession. We don't realize the deep connection between the idea that we are hiking on a path, we're walking on a way, we're trying to reach a goal. And the Camino of life is that we get to the goal, that go through the door of death to reach to heaven, to that place of heavenly worship, the place where we not are just seeking his face, but we're encountering his face. I'm like, wait a minute, if I'm seeking the face of God, if I'm seeking the face of Jesus today in the Camino, the most profound place where I'm going to encounter the face of Jesus is at Mass. It's in the Eucharist. Jesus is there waiting for me, waiting to meet me, waiting to come to me, waiting to commune with me, he's so consumed with love for me that he becomes consumable by me as Eucharist. So I'm here praying before Mass, realizing, wait a minute, the Mass is the most profound form of Camino. It's the way where hiking is not just walking, and hiking and walking are not just moving from one town to another. No, it's a symbol of my own seeking the Lord and walking towards the Lord, which happens in its most profound and intimate and personal and life-giving way at Mass. And so everything got flipped. And I'm like, wait a minute. My day is a success if I make it to Mass. If I get to Mass, and then the seeking of his face is accomplished. And I'm still in the spirit of the pilgrim, because I'm joining in with the priest in that act of processing towards the God who's come close to us. And so, beautiful and lovely, and thank you, Lord, and you know, for the gift given to me to go to Mass that day. So I went to Mass, and it was only a half an hour. Wow, thank you, Lord. So it was a 30-minute Mass and out the door, and now still I'm 21 miles from my goal, and I'm starting later than I ever have for a walk that long. I would have started 2.5 or more hours before then, or at least by 8 o'clock. So I'm quite a bit behind. So I'm like, let me start walking. So I did. I started walking, and I wasn't rushing, but I was just peacefully walking my steady pace. One of the interesting things was, for some mysterious reason, I didn't immediately move to pray the rosary. And normally, again, that's how I start, with a couple of hours of prayer and praying the rosary. And I don't know if I just felt like, oh, I've got permission not to start with the rosary because I was just at Mass, and I'm just going to stay in the silence of having received Jesus in Holy Communion. And so the idea of, well, moving right to another hour and a half prayer time, praying the rosary, it just felt like, you know, I'm just going to be quiet and I'll get to it later. You know what happens when we do that? We don't get to it later. So as my day unfolded, I did not get to the rosary. And I don't know, maybe there's a reason for it, but I was like, wow, sometimes there are things at stake in the moment. And if it's going to be hard, you got to do the hard thing, or you just might miss the grace that the Lord has for you in that moment. But I'm not beating myself up over it. It's just like, oh, okay. I've got to relearn that simple lesson that I've known how many times for how long. Look, if you feel that prompting to pray, you should just pray. even if it's hard, just pray. Because I know what happens when I enter into that prayer. And this is actually what happened like 2 days from now. That's actually today. Oh, I feel a bit of aversion towards prayer, a bit of resistance towards prayer. We'll just do it anyways. And it just washes away. That wall falls and you're bursting through paper. And then all of a sudden, that flow of being in God's grace and the blessings of prayer just reemerge. So, okay. So I'm walking and I'm like, Lord, I'm open to connect with somebody and talk with them for a time if that's what you have for me. I feel like I'm in a good spot. Well, none of that happens. I end up passing and just briefly connecting with like a few people on my way up, but no one really engages me in conversation. And I'm like, that's fine. Let me just kind of keep on and staying focused. Well, one of the other things that reemerged in the course of this day was the gift of flies. This was a lots of trees and brush and forest are now back, right? I've been walking now for a couple of weeks in an area that was much more just farmland. And so not really bothered by any kind of flies. Wow, these flies were harassing and everywhere. And I had to have my, this is what I use. I put this around my neck, right? So that's how I normally have it. But I ended up having to push this thing up over my head and to keep out the flies. There you go. That's how I looked for most of the day. I was doing that to keep myself from all these flies just harassing me over the course of that very long walk. So, that part just all by itself was unpleasant on the way up, but it was a beautiful vista. And the terrain started getting more rocky and a little bit more treacherous, like jutting rocks and uneven paths and ups and downs and uneven places. And, you know, it was, you know, you could find little edges like where lots of pilgrims had walked, but a lot of it was just having to make your way through really unpleasant trail. And sure enough, after walking for, I don't know, maybe 2 hours, I can see, oh, wait a minute, there it is. There's that Cruz de Ferro. There's that famous cross that that is this, like, you know, high point of the Camino for so many. They're looking towards it and they want to move from it. And it caught me off guard from the standpoint of, I didn't realize, oh, today's the day. And then I only found out when I was kind of reviewing the trail. And I think maybe I'd heard from someone the day before saying, oh, tomorrow we go to the Cruz de Ferro and I'm really looking forward to it and that sort of thing. I've been waiting for this. It kind of dawned on me, I saw it and started walking towards it, took a couple of videos, which I've been doing, kind of videotaping some of the scenery and things and sending them off to my family so they could kind of share in what I've been going through. And I get there and really I saw a lot of pilgrims there. Pilgrims would just stay there and be there, be present there. They would go up and they would present their rock, in their own way, kind of like the idea of letting go. I'm letting go of something and I want to be released. I want to be freed. And, you know, that symbolic gesture can have tremendous power. And again, just listening to the testimony of people who've done it, there was a deep sense of release and relief and freedom, a sense of new space that came from that action. For me, I didn't come to the Camino with like heavy burdens to let go of. I didn't come with people, situations, relationships, current or past happenings. I didn't have that. And so it was nice to be there, to witness other people being there. But I was feeling good that I finally kind of caught some people. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Still got a long way to go. I, you know, ate something, drank something, and said, I'm going to keep moving. So I was there for, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes maybe. But moving on. So I started to move on from the cross. I did go up to the cross. I touched it and just said a prayer and gave over my family, my life, and sort of those, some of the key components that make up my Camino. But again, nothing, there's nothing profound that happened inside of me. And so as I'm walking away from the cross area, there were two other ladies that I had kind of passed them and kind of seen them at different points in the Camino, a couple of points anyways. And so we just started to walk together and chat. And I was like, okay, let me kind of feel out this conversation and see if there's anything here. And a couple of people from Australia and, you know, chatty and friendly, they were together. And all of a sudden, as we're walking, it's a flat path. It's flat. Like, we haven't had a flat path like this in quite a while. We're walking along and I roll my ankle. Now, I didn't sprain my ankle. Like, when you have an ankle sprain, right, what does it do? It kind of twists, kind of, it bulges out, and then it comes back in, right? So that's a sprain, kind of quick boop, and you know, obviously hurts and all of that. I didn't sprain my ankle, I dislocated it. Now, not like a shoulder where it pops out and you've got to like pop it back in, but in this particular instance, for the second time on this Camino, the first time was on day three, my ankle popped out and then it snapped back in. Now, what was different about this occasion was that I was with two other people. I was on a flat surface. I didn't step on a rock. I didn't step on like a little divot. I didn't come down. I wasn't going downhill. And so my ankle was kind of stretched out, just flat walking, pop. And I like just fell. I actually bent my pole, hiking pole. There it is. You can see the bend. Cause the way I came down, it popped. I put my weight on that pole like too much and it bent on me. And I let out a yell, fell to the ground, and they were like, whoa, don't move, don't move. And I'm like, no, I know what to do here. Jump up and keep moving. And so I did. And lo and behold, one of the women that I was with was a physical therapist. Ta-da! And she's like, okay, here's what you need to do. Here's an exercise you need to do to help with the pain and the swelling. So she showed me an exercise to do. I'd never been told that in all these years of having ankle problems, that, hey, here's an exercise to do to help you with that. Now, what I didn't tell you is this. This was not my right ankle, the one that I had dislocated on day three. This is my left ankle. Now, I've had ankle problems since fourth grade when I broke my right ankle. And so my ankle problems had been almost exclusively on the right side. The number of times that I had dislocated my left ankle in my entire personal history was a total of zero. Never happened to me before. And it happens on the Camino at the top of the mountain on a flat space when what is standing in front of me is a downward slope that is considered the hardest downward slope of the entire Camino, the longest downward slope of the entire Camino, the greatest amount of downward slope distance of the entire Camino, and the worst conditioned downward sloping of the entire Camino. And the great warning that you'll get from folks who are summarizing the walk is this place is just a ripe opportunity to twist an ankle. And I, you know what? My body decided to, let's do one better. let's not just twist the ankle, let's dislocate it, and let's have it happen on the flat area before we get to the 10-mile long downhill, up and then downhill and up and downhill and up and downhill and downhill and downhill and up and downhill for another 10 miles. And I almost started crying. I mean, I was like, God, why? What are you doing? Are you kidding me, Lord? And I could not believe it. And I had prayed that morning, knowing that there was a kind of a treacherous, long, downward sloping stage. Lord, please protect my ankles from twisting. Please protect my ankles. Let your precious blood, guardian angels, man. And I was calling on all of heaven. Let's go protect my ankles on that downward slope. Well, I had the downward slope in front of me now, but I had a throbbing ankle that I continued to walk and continued to go forward. Well, these two ladies ended up, the real only reason for our conversation, our meeting and walking together was in fact the that physical therapy aspect of things, because they really weren't that interested in like meaningful conversation. They would be happy with chit chat. And eventually they gave me I got the signal. You know, one of them stopped to take a picture and it was like, okay, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep going. Goodbye. And I kept on going. And I started the downward slope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
I knew a couple of things. If I stopped for any like meaningful length of time, I was done. That foot would just, my ankle was going to just blow up. It would just swell up. And I'm like, that's not going to work. I have to keep moving. And so I started the downward ascent. And again, it's hard to describe the trail because, you know, when you're thinking hiking trails, you're thinking trails that either are shepherded, you know, cared for by some park service. So you can find some difficult portions of trails, but not 10 miles downhill of a trail that tens of thousands of people are walking every single month for months a year, for millions of people through the years. And I'm like, this is the condition of these trails. How do old people that are in worse condition, worse shape than me, how do they do this? And so, oh, and by the way, you have to imagine now all of these flies buzzing around, buzzing and buzzing and buzzing. I mean, I'm like 5, 10 flies just buzzing around me. You know, like you see flies buzzing around a horse. It was like that, just buzzing around me every step of the way. So not seeing a lot, head down, every single step carefully taken, throbbing ankle, walking downhill. Kerry would later say, hey, you know, Tom, remember Divine Providence? Remember that book you kept reading, He Leadeth Me by Father Walter Chiswick? And I said, oh my goodness, thank you, Kerry, appreciate that. Because in that book, one of the key points that Father Chiswick said was, and this is like his mature thinking that he unfolds over the course of the book, that everything that happens in your life, a life given over to the Lord, everything that happens is God's providence. It's God providing for you. It's God providing for you. And so for him, the KGB in the Lubyanka prison were provided by God. They were ministers of God in his life. And so that path and then that trail was provided for by God. And What I realized was, wait a minute, I'm here seeking the face of the Lord. I'm here walking as a pilgrim on a path of penance and reparation for my sins and sins of my family and in the wider circle of people. And I'm here praying as a pilgrim for those that are near to death but far from God. Near to death but far from God. And that means they're physically close to death and they might be stuck in spiritual death. And I want to roll away that stone so that they can experience the saving power of God. And you know what? When it comes to penance, there's two fundamental forms. There's what's called active penance. That's the penance that you choose for yourself. So I was given the gift of the opportunity to come on the Camino. I'm actively choosing to do that. That's my active penance. I've gone along and now felt called to surrender bread and alcohol and potatoes. And you know what? That's my choice. That's an active form of penance. The other form is the passive form of penance. And that's the penance that you undergo as part of your life's journey. It's the things that happen to you. And if you have that, again, that sense of I've surrendered my life to the Lord, and Lord, I say yes in advance to all that you'll ask of me. It's my daily prayer. I begin my rosary with that Holy Spirit prayer. Oh, Holy Spirit, soul of my soul, I adore you. Enlighten me, guide me, strengthen me, console me. Tell me what I should do. Give me your orders. I promise to submit myself to all that you ask of me. And I accept all that you permit to happen to me. I accept all that you permit to happen to me. I accept all that you permit to happen to me. Let me only know your will. The prayer itself can seem very pious and it can seem zealous. Yeah, but when the rubber meets the road, or when the ankle hits the trail, all of a sudden you start to feel the implication, feel it very painfully, the implication of saying, I make my life available to you, Lord. And so, like, you know what? Who was it, John of the Cross or St. John Vianney said, all that is not offered to God is wasted. Like, don't waste all this suffering. Like one of my sentiments that I've been sort of carrying with me on the Camino are all these people undergoing all these hardships. And I'm like, you're wasting all this suffering. Don't waste it. Offer it to the Lord. Let it be brought in union with the cross. Let it do some spiritual good for you and for your family and your loved ones. Don't waste suffering. So Lord, just, okay, I'm going to continue walking. I'm going to keep on walking. And as I did so, what I realized was I needed some kind of distraction. You know, if I wasn't going to be, let's call it like sort of intensely able to focus on something else, something that was not the trail in front of me or the pain in my ankle, then this journey was going to be that much more difficult. And so I put in my AirPods and I put on an audiobook that I had listened to when I would get to the end of stages and I would be really tired and like sort of and really not that able to focus on any more prayer or just quiet time. I needed some distraction. So I was listening to the end of this audiobook. And so that helped me, like, okay, I can use my imagination to focus on the book even as I'm paying attention to the path in front of me and slowly making my way down. It was kind of would put a little bit in the background, the pain in the feet and especially in the ankle and the tiredness in my body. So continue on now. I'm making my way down through several miles of this downhill, uphill, downhill, uphill, downhill, this drop. And eventually make it to a town where I can pause for a minute, get a little bite to eat, get a coffee, a little bit more energy in me, and then continue pushing forward because I can't stop for long. I can't, like, don't untie my shoes, just stop, take a break, use the bathroom, get a little bit more energy in you, and go. And so he said, I asked the bartender, how many more miles before the road smooths out. And he said 8 kilometers, and that's about 5 miles. What a liar. Oh, it was so much further than that. And, but, you know, it's like, okay, if you can just keep in your mind, it's only 5 miles. I can do this. Of just treacherous downhill and then up and downhill. So I continue on, and just as I'm finishing up the book, I ended up catching up to a guy named Juan. Now, Juan was someone that was sitting at that table, the coffee table, the day before, with Mr. D. And we had chatted a bit about that 10X life, and I had told him about the podcast that Carrie and I had listened to. And so when we met back up, it was a chance for us to engage in communication. I mean, engage around that and other topics. And I'll tell you, it was like, it was a couple of old guys helping each other out. He's a couple of years older than me. And so we knew what we were doing. We were basically saying, we're going to get each other to the end of this. We are going to make it, and we're going to do it together, because he was struggling. He was struggling and I was struggling. And it's like, let's struggle. Let's work this together. Let's not focus on the struggle. Let's keep each other occupied with an interesting conversation, and we will get through this. And every time we thought we would just get through it, we'd hit another patch of downhill and get through it again. We'd go up and it'd be like, okay, we're kind of clear of it. And then down through another patch of it again. And that went on, and we probably walked together for at least an hour. And we, I was like, we're almost there. And, you know, almost there when you, it's getting later in the day now, you know, it's like 3 p.m. and it's tiring. It's long, it's hard. And we eventually do get down, and we make it to the road that leads into a town. And he's like, Tom, I just have to stop and eat lunch. I would not do that normally. Because the road that we had was about an additional 4 or 5 miles to our end point town. So still had quite a ways to go, but he's like, I just have to stop. I'm like, you got it. I have to push on. I can't stop because of my ankle. I've just got to push forward. And I got to admit, that next stretch, that next mile was difficult, because I saw him go off, peel off to go sit down and just relax at a restaurant. And as I cross over this bridge, like most of these towns, you kind of cross a bridge over a body of water and then into town. All of these pilgrims, all of these people walking the Camino, are sitting at their coffee tables, drinking a beer, you know, relaxing, laughing, stretching out. They've already reached the end of their road, and they are like showered and rested, and they're just enjoying themselves. And I'm thinking, I got 5 more miles to go, and I am exhausted, right? You know my condition. And I just am like, stay focused, push through. So as I'm walking through, my audiobook is done and Juan is gone. What do I do now? I'll tell you, it's a little bit humbling. It's a little bit embarrassing. But the first and most meaningful thing I did was I called several people in my family. I'm like, you know, calling them to say, look, I need you to walk with me. I need you to be with me to help me make it through this last stretch of the walk. And I wish I could say that the last stretch was just flat. Unfortunately, it wasn't. There were some long hills up the sides of busy streets, highways, like not quite a highway, but a very busy, busy street. And that just went on and on and on. And then all the way around and up and down. And it wasn't just a flat, easy path after that. There were still ups and downs and a lot of ups. As I made my way towards the town, and I put in my phone calls and nobody answered. Ta-da. So I'm like, okay, what do I do right now? I need to find a point of focus. Excuse me. I need to find a point of focus that will be like easy to listen to, like quick and easy, and give me immediate reactions that will help me like stay focused on it, because I don't have a lot of attention because of the pain. I need something to help me. And I thought, oh, comedy, one-liners. Stephen Wright. Now, Stephen Wright is a comedian that grew up in my hometown, a handful of years older than me. And he, you know, became famous nationally and probably beyond for a number of years. I don't know if, what his situation is now, but very clever one-liners delivered in a deadpan fashion. And so I'm like, okay, Stephen, you're gonna get me through this, man. And so I just found some like compilation videos of Stephen Wright one-liners. There you go. See how holy I am? See how spiritual I am here? And so I was listening to him for a time. And then a dear friend of mine from way back in my time at Catholic University, so this would have been in 92 when we met, he called me back. He finally called me back and he says, Tom, what's up? And I said, all right, Kevin, you need to help me out, man. You need to get me through the last hour. And he did. He stayed on the phone with me and he spoke, he talked. And he talked in a way that kept me engaged and talked in a way that was sharing about his life. And we had a chance to talk about a lot of really neat things. I was mostly listening, and that's what I needed to do. I didn't have a lot of energy to talk. And I'm like, just keep talking, man. I'll ask a couple of questions. And it was engaging. He provided a real gift to me. He provided a real gift of walking with me thousands of miles away across the ocean, helping me get all the way to my hotel. And so when I finally got there, I'm like, I gotta go. He said, totally fine. We'll talk soon. And it was the wrong place. So I eventually found my way to my hostel, and I just collapsed. I just got up to my room and I was just like, I need to just collapse. And finally took off my shoe, and it just started throbbing, and it did. It just ballooned up, and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to walk tomorrow. I'm going to definitely need a day of rest. Definitely need a day of rest. So I took back out my my ankle brace. There's my ankle brace that I got in Pamplona that I was using for my right ankle. And now I'm using it for my left ankle. I was like, I already at that point said, you know what, I can't walk tomorrow. There's just no way. I need another day to recover from this. Just like it happened the previous time, I needed a day to recover. And so I ended up like saying, hey, can I stay another night? And sure enough, they were booked. So I got another nearby hotel to be able to take a day of rest. One other happening, and this will kind of tee up a reflection for tomorrow. There was one other happening that occurred that night. So the town I was in, this Ponferrada, it's a pretty big town, and there are tons of restaurants, tons of them. I came down to get a bite to eat. And again, I'm just wiped out, and just like very low ability to like maintain any kind of spiritual idealism. And so instead of getting water or tonic water, I said, do you have any non-alcoholic beer? And they said, yes. So I ended up having a non-alcoholic beer, which was for me, not ideal. Like I really wanted to stay with tonic water, like just sparkling water. And if I'm going to add something, maybe some tonic water. And so I felt like I surrendered a bit by going with the non-alcoholic beer. And then I sat down to eat. And on the menu, one of the top items was their mixed salad. And I'm like, there it is, sitting in front of me. It's a fasting day, a mixed salad. All I need to do when that waitress comes over is say, mixed salad. That's all I need to do. And I'm watching, and she delivered to the table behind me. It was a combination meal with chicken or pork chops and whatever. And I saw that go past me. So stay focused, Tom, mix salad. When all of a sudden she comes over to, what would you like to have for dinner? And I said, combination platter, pork chops. Oh, now I just gave myself a little bit of leniency because of the painful journey I had taken that day, that my capacity to maintain a fast under those circumstances, that was just, I don't know, a holier man, a stronger man of faith would have been able to just let the words come out of his mouth, salad and sparkling water. Unfortunately, I went with pork chops combination meal, which is basically all these combination platters are just simply like pork chops with or chicken or a piece of like beef steak with fries and some roast peppers. There you go. That's the standard pilgrim meal. And so not only was I not just eating a salad, but all of a sudden I'm eating French fries, I'm eating potatoes again. And thinking, oh yeah, give me another non-alcoholic beer. So, ta-da, what happens? In this big town with all of these restaurants, who comes walking in and sits at the table right next to me? But the two priests that I had met up with and had these two different conversations with. And I'd just been with them a couple days ago and let them know I was fasting and I wasn't drinking alcohol and I was fasting and having salads. And one of the priests comes in, he says, oh, I can see you're fasting. And very humbling. Like, well, Father, this is my one meal today. I was just, that ankle, I'll tell you, that really, it kind of drained me in a way that was just humbling. So ate my meal, went back upstairs. Oh, by the way, I had run out of Advil that day. I'd run out of painkillers, like any kind of medicine to help me with pain. And so I've got this throbbing ankle and I end up just trying to sleep. And it was a long night sleep. So I'll pick up on that on my next reflection. But I just want to leave you with, again, just sort of that summary that in the end, really and truly, the mountain of the Lord that we're climbing in this Camino in its most profound way isn't a pilgrim journey where we're still waiting to see home. It's a procession towards our heavenly homeland. And sometimes heaven breaks into earth and gives us a place, a mountain of the Lord to encounter him. And it's not the cruise to Pharaoh, as much as that is that for some people that we're walking this day. It's Mass. It's the great gift of the Mass. And it can be both. But the most profound supernatural gift is found at Mass. And that's my hope and prayer is that you who are Catholic, who've been given the gift of the Catholic faith, that you would be open to hearing that call to seek his face and to encounter his face and to have him come and dwell within you and so that you become more fully him in your own journey of faith. And then lastly, two other quick themes. The one was the theme of penance, the penance that you take on in your own life, right? Choose to do some penance. Choose to do some kind of fasting and prayer as a means of seeking his face, as a desire to go deeper into your own spiritual union with the Lord. So seek his face, absolutely seek his face. But then the other theme of active penance is passive penance. And that's the penance that you undergo because of the circumstances and situations that happen to you in your own life, that the pain and suffering, the difficulties, the trials, the tribulations, that these can be great blessings to you that will yield great spiritual fruit and benefit for you and for those you love. And I want to say, you don't have to believe me. Just go and read With God in Russia by Father Walter Chizik, and then the spiritual journal that accompanies it, which is He Leadeth Me. And listen to Father Chizik say that everything that happens to us, a man who's surrendered his life to God, is an overflow of God's providence into your life. That's my hope, that you'll experience all things, even dislocations in your life, as expressions of God's providence in your life. All right. God bless.